This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2. The week's best bits. Laura and Duncan's Hope Breakfast Podcast.
4 day week. 4 day week.
You
four
know.
4 day week.
As annoying as your petitioning is, I think someone heard you because we've had a 4 day week. Yes, and we're going into a 4 day week. Woo!
Yay! It feels so good. Man, there was a lot of pressure on this week.
Yeah, I think that's why you're a little bit nervous because, yes, Duncan, you needed to overcome a fear. And I'll, like, preemptively say you did overcome a fear.
It's okay to say that, but I will also admit, I still kind of have a lingering fear of this fear.
And you've lost some weight as a result.
Yep. About 10% of a certain part of me's mass.
This sounds creepily mysterious. Let's get into it. 3, 2, 1.
Breakfast is ready.
Serena Williams, okay, she is phenomenal at her sport of tennis.
Ridiculously good.
Amazing. And she has a lot of followers on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, the whole lot. She posted a picture revealing that she is 20 weeks pregnant. Congratulations.
Hold on.
To Serena.
She won the Australian Open, which was about 20 weeks ago. Is this a celebration baby?
Why? Well, what it means is that she won the Australian Open while pregnant.
Oh, so she was actually pregnant when she won it. Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Very cool.
But it makes you interpret her winner's speech a little bit different, okay? So this is what she said from the podium in regards to her sister Venus.
She deserves an incredible round of applause. She's made an amazing comeback, and I definitely think she'll be standing here next year.
Oh, standing here next year, hey?
Oh, this is like one of those complex political drama movies where it doesn't make sense until the very end. And now we understand her acceptance speech.
She knows that she's not going to be there, so it's going to go to Venus. So that's kind of like a backhanded compliment in a way. Like, I'm out of the way, so you might win.
I'm out of the way. You can have a crack at winning next year.
The Red Cross, they do amazing work, obviously, receiving our blood donations and giving us choc chip cookies and milkshakes.
I've only heard about it. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to it.
Today you are giving blood because there is a real need at the moment. And I know you're a little bit nervous, but it's okay.
That's an understatement. I should be wearing yellow pants right now. I'm so nervous about this whole thing.
They already are yellow. What happened? But this morning, Gemma Falkenmeyer from the Red Cross joins us to just put your mind at ease. Good morning, Gemma.
Good morning.
Now, our very own Duncan, he has decided to give blood. Obviously, it's a time of need for the Red Cross blood service across Australia. Why is there a particular need for people to donate blood at the moment?
Yeah, because we've actually had back-to-back long weekends, that does make our blood supplies quite difficult. Unfortunately, the need for blood doesn't really take a break on public holidays. So we really do see a drop-off in appointments over the Easter long weekend and also around Anzac Day. But of course, there's hundreds of patients in hospital still needing that blood. So we're always out in force at this time, encouraging people to donate.
And what are the kind of patients that are going to need blood during this season?
Yeah, the critical patients for us around long weekends are cancer patients and trauma patients. The reason being that the part of blood that's used to treat them, called platelets, doesn't last longer than 5 days, or we say the same length of time as a hot cross bun at this time of year. So because it has that short shelf life, we really need to be collecting platelets every day. But unfortunately, people think we can stockpile it leading into public holidays, and we can't. So we do really need people to donate around those days.
So who's eligible to donate blood?
Yeah, so generally if you're 16 to 70 years of age and you're in good health, there are some exemptions, and the most common ones relate to travel and some lifestyle things such as tattoos. And then there is some general health status things that may affect your donation as well, such as if you're pregnant and breastfeeding. So generally the best thing to do is to jump onto our website, which is donateblood.com.au, and there's a great little quiz you can do to find out if you are eligible. Most of the deferrals are temporary, so the good news is you should be able to donate at some stage.
So all the girls on our breakfast team, Laura and Ali, they're original gangster blood givers. They've done it all the time. They're very good at it. They should be wearing capes right now. But I'm a complete rookie to this. I am feeling quite nervous. I have given blood before, not given blood, but had 6 vials come out of me, and I passed out during that process.
Wow.
So there's a little bit of anxiety going in today. You got anything that can still my nerves?
Yeah, so I reckon I reckon that there's a few things that you can do that will be really helpful. They seem like obvious things, but preparation is important. Making sure you have loads of water to drink before you donate is super important. Also, making sure you have something to do when you're actually donating, like reading a book or listening to music or a podcast. Those are things that I do when I donate that are really helpful. Also, the nurses are going to be very good to you. They are going to be aware of how you're feeling and how you're looking, and they're very good at picking up you know, if we actually can't proceed with the donation. But I have to say that most people have an anxiety before they donate. It's quite natural. But most people also do get over that when they actually get into the centre and start donating. Mm. And I guess thinking about the fact that patients don't have a choice really about receiving the blood. So it's always good to keep them in mind as well.
Yeah. And Gemma, you mentioned that a lot of the need at the moment is for these, like the repeat patients, those that have cancer or whatever the case may be. For you, you've been donating since you were 16. Why did you decide to donate in the first place?
Yeah, so when I was quite young, my dad had leukemia, and I didn't realise how important blood donation was in cancer treatment. But he was very, very sick, and he used to, you know, be asleep and quite lethargic. And when he was having his chemotherapy, his body actually stopped making his blood cells. So he had to have quite a lot of transfusions, and I realised how important they were. But to be honest, he wouldn't have been able to, you know, sit up and play with us and talk to us during that process if he hadn't have had those blood transfusions. So as well as saving his life, they also meant that we had valuable time with him when he was quite sick.
Mm.
Okay, and for anyone who wants to give blood, where are they going to head along to?
Yeah, so if you call 13 14 95 or visit donateblood.com.au, there's quite a lot of mobiles hanging out around Sydney, but we also have lots of donor centres as well, so you'll find out the best place and the closest location to donate.
Gemma, thank you so much for joining us.
No worries. Thank you.
It's Gemma Falkenmeyer from the Red Cross. You can find out more about donating blood at donateblood.com.au.
Hope Breakfast
with Laura and Duncan.
When you give blood, you can save 3 lives, potentially.
Yeah.
And obviously, when you give blood, they can go to helping cancer patients, people who have just given birth. Like, there's a number of different people that they can go and help.
Yeah.
Well, joining us right now is Arthur Bozikas. He's a blood recipient. Morning, Arthur. Good to have you here, mate.
Lovely to be here. Thank you.
Mate, listen, when I hear a number of blood transfusions, I'm thinking to myself, like, 2 or 3. How many have you had?
Well, we've done a rough estimate earlier this year, and it's about 660.
Whoa. Whoa. So can we ask why you need to receive that many transfusions?
Sure. I was born with a genetic blood disorder called beta thalassemia major, which requires me to, well, first of all, my body is unable to produce functioning red cells. And so I need regular transfusions to keep alive.
Right. So is this kind of like, you know, my car runs out of gas and I got to pull into a petrol station and fill up? This is kind of a similar idea for you?
Well, you know, everybody replenishes their blood through their bone marrow every 3 to 4 weeks. I'm fortunate that my blood marrow does not produce functioning red cells. So therefore, by the end of the month, yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm out of gas, and if I don't get a top-up, that's it.
So do you have a fear of needles? We need to know this, because that is a lot of times to be having one popped into your arm.
I grew up, in hospitals, or, you know, especially in my adolescence. And I dealt with it pretty good, so no, I didn't have a fear of needles.
And obviously, there's a big push for giving blood. We hear about it all the time, that by giving blood, you could save up to 3 lives. What would be your encouragement to someone who's maybe a little bit off-put by needles, a little bit concerned about getting along and doing that?
Well, I'm an action writer, and I believe blood donors are true action heroes because their actions save lives. I can't tell you, growing up in and out of hospital all my life, all I saw from a very young age was the generosity of people in the community of giving blood and saving many, many lives over the years. I can't tell you how much it means to me personally of their generosity to give blood. And it doesn't take very long at all. However, it changes people's lives.
Yeah, it's so true. Thank you so much, Arthur, for sharing some of your story with us this morning.
My pleasure.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan
on Hope 103.2.
Watching the project last night, you might have noticed this new ban the bag idea, which has become a trending topic around social media this morning. Well, Lead Ally, he was challenging three Aussie premiers to step up and ban the production of millions of plastic bags.
On average, a plastic bag is used for just 12 minutes. So that's 12 minutes carrying your groceries to the car and then from the car to your pantry. And after that, it's tossed away. And it takes 1,000 years to break down. So your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren will share a planet with the plastic bag that you just used to bring home tonight's dinner.
People don't really think about the environmental impact of a plastic bag at all. It's really frustrating because these bags are having an enormous impact on the environment. They're killing our precious wildlife. We don't need plastic bags.
Us Australians are world leaders when it comes to waste. We're the second highest producers of rubbish per person in the world. Only the US is trashier. We each send almost 700 kilos of waste to landfill every year. And man, we love a plastic bag. It's estimated that Australians use between 4 and 6 billion plastic bags annually. We use more than 10 million plastic bags every day. And just since I've been speaking, Australians have dumped 7,150 plastic bags into landfill.
That's incredible.
Mm.
I certainly know that some of the states in the USA have since banned plastic bags in shopping centres. And I believe that India right now is going through the process of banning disposable plastic bags, knives and forks as well to try and reduce their environmental impact. I think this has got huge ramifications for Australia if we choose to go down that path. Very good ones, though, as well, especially when you consider 4 to 6 billion plastic bags a year that we use.
The good thing is there's already a lot of Australian states that are on board, but New South Wales, Victoria and Western Australia are yet to do it, although Gladys Berejiklian and also the Western Australian Premier said that they would. So you're just waiting for everyone to come on board. With even Coles and Woolies saying, look, if you want to do it, we'll help you out to initiate, to you know, make it happen as well.
Great initiative. Here's the thing, though. What always happens to me is I go shopping and I realise I've left my reusable shopping bags down in the car. So we just all need to be in agreement that when we get out to the checkout, we have 5 minutes to run down to the car, get those bags, come back out and finish checking out.
Yeah, we need to sort out the logistics just a little bit.
Yeah.
Brenda, what are your thoughts on this morning?
Oh, good morning, Lauren Duncan. I was just thinking the same thing that Duncan was saying, that you always leave your shopping bags in your car. I am a classic case of that. I've got a lovely selection of recycled bags, real pretty ones.
Yep.
And I always either leave them at home or leave them in the boot. So I thought, why don't they put signs up in the car park that say, hey, remember to grab your shopping bags, so somewhere between your car and the entrance into the shopping centre, so we all remember to bring our shopping bags.
Well, Brenda,
that's a good idea.
That's great for like 50% of the population, but as a dad, I barely read any signs
hey
ever.
Hey now, I like Brenda's bringing solution, and I think that works as well.
Then I'd have no excuse when I got in
Hide
there.
Hide your valuables and bring your Enviro bags. 1-300-40-2020. Hey, Eleanor, so you use your Enviro bags as well, do you?
Absolutely. I've been using them for years, and it's just a matter of getting into the habit of when you go shopping, as soon as you pull up to the supermarket, you go straight to the boot, you get them out of the car, and then you use them. And then when you go home, you take them from the car into the house, you unpack all your groceries, and you take them straight back to the boot, and you leave them there until the next time you go shopping.
Eleanor, you're dutiful, but that there highlights the issue. The chink in my armour is after I've unloaded the shopping, they sit at the front door. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's called discipline, Duncan.
Wow.
I'm actually pro the idea because my laundry will be less full of plastic bags that I'm yet to take to Coles, Woolies and get recycled.
So I have to learn discipline and good habits now.
And you need to steward God's creation, okay, Duncan? Paramount to it all.
Okay, that's a tall order, but I'm on it.
Laura, yesterday I was sweating darts in here.
Yeah.
I had sweat patches under my arms. That
I wasn't going to say anything, but
extended right to my middle of my chest, all because of giving blood. It was a pretty full-on experience.
In life, we go through challenges that can bring out the best in us.
I am petrified. If I could wear any colour pants right now, they would be yellow.
Today, Duncan is going to overcome his nerves and give blood for the first time. But before he can do that, there's paperwork to fill out and hydrating to do.
Is there anything else I need to do, like star jumps to get the blood pumping? Is that... No? Okay. Why why is it so important to get a milkshake and a cookie? I mean, give blood.
It's very important, actually, to give blood, particularly because one in three people will need blood in their lifetime, yet only one in 30 of us actually donate blood. So we're trying to encourage more people to help roll up their sleeves. And because it is in such high demand, we're always calling on new donors to come on board. So thank you very much for rolling up your sleeves and making your first donation today.
Now, obviously for me, because I'm a big, burly, strong guy, no nerves at all, really excited about going in and doing this. But if there was a person who was here today and was feeling a little bit nervous, what would you say to them?
You know, the pinch of the needle could last 3 seconds, but it could mean a lifetime to someone else.
Then the time came to roll up his sleeves and sit back on the comfy recliners.
Can we put vibrate function on?
Just on the feet.
Just on the feet?
On the feet.
That's good.
As the needle prick got closer, Duncan looked a little less confident.
It was a bit of a sting. Like a bee sting, probably, I would say. Like, I mean, you know, when they say it doesn't hurt at all, it does hurt a little bit. Just a little bit, though. Probably not going to look at this arm anymore. As far as I'm concerned, I'm really just one-armed person right now. Pain's all gone right now. It feels good. What'll happen at the end is they'll top up what they've taken out with milkshake.
After 7 minutes, it was all done.
Okay, so the bandage is going on. It's got to stay on for 2 to 3 hours. No heavy lifting, as if that's going to happen. We could go 2 to 3 years with this bandage on, I reckon. This is 10% of my blood volume in a bag right now that is going to go off, hopefully, and save someone's life, which is pretty exciting. Ooh, 3 lives.
Well done, Duncan. We're proud of you, buddy. And thank you to everyone who also gives blood.
Yay!
Well done.
Yep, still standing here today. My big encouragement is even a wuss like me can figure out how to do it. I encourage you to go along and give blood. If you want to see the full video, it's up on our Facebook page right now.
Hope Breakfast.
With Laura and Duncan.
I can't tell you everything.
You can't.
But something is coming next week.
Really?
And That's basically all we can really say, Hopeland, is that something is coming. You are going to love this. Other people involved in this are going to love this.
Are we talking about the second round of the NBA playoffs?
Oh, I don't know when that is.
Okay. You're not talking about Christmas?
Christmas is coming, but that's a little bit far away.
Is it winter? Winter's coming.
Winter is coming, but more if you watch Game of Thrones, not for us.
Is it scarf season? Because I'd say that's already here.
Well, you're already wearing yours, although your scarf is more like grandma's tablecloth that's frayed on the edges.
This is a high-quality, fancy scarf. And I tell you right now, my neck is at the perfect temperature.
Yeah, I bet you it is.
You're climate just like here between the chin and the chest.
Can I say, flawless, though, you've left another hipster chili because of what you've taken from them right now?
Probably. So what is coming?
I can't tell you. I told you I can't tell you.
The week's best bits. Laura and Duncan's Hope Breakfast Podcast.
That's right.
Something is coming.
Whoa, you gotta be like way more positive than that. It's like a good thing. No, hey, something is coming.
Whoa, Batman's on the way. No, you need to tune in from Monday because it's gonna be good.
Hey, you know what I wanna say?
Yeah.
4-day week. 4-day week. Keep it going.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan. 6 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2. Thanks for listening. Start your day with life words. Subscribe to Hope 103.2's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.